I'm not saying it's a difficult job, you know, but it's also not easy as well. I mean, there's work to do. So people might be surprised that there's a little bit more to it than, you know, they hear. Hopefully the polished part of it when, you know, we go live at 5 o'clock.
Hi, I'm Brian Scott-Smith from WSHU. Thanks to your support, the news you trust and the music you love can stay interruption-free. Please make your gift right now at wshu.org.
3,500 LIRR workers are set to walk off the job Saturday if they can't make a deal with the MTA on wages. New York Governor Kathy Hochul said yesterday the MTA is negotiating in good faith and labor leaders need to compromise.
And I understand the MTA has put different proposals on the table without much response to them thus far. So in order to get a settlement, the unions need to start working to find a compromise.
Hochul says she supports fair wages for workers, but she's concerned about higher fares for cash-strapped Long Islanders. If the strike goes forward, buses for essential workers will replace some train service, but the governor says it's not enough for the nearly 300,000 people who ride the railroad daily. This is WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Erin Stewart suspends her campaign for Connecticut governor. Two Long Island communities get a boost for downtown revitalization projects. Plus, we have a conversation with comedian Lisa Lampanelli. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Former New Britain Mayor Erin Stewart has suspended her campaign for governor. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports she'd been bogged down by recent reports of misspending city money.
Connecticut Republicans will meet this weekend to decide who they will endorse in the race for governor, and Stewart was thought to be a top choice. That's no longer the case. Her chances dropped significantly last weekend when it came to light that she had spent $200,000 on her city credit card, and most of it was unrelated to city business. A law firm hired by her successor on Thursday released a report that found a criminal investigation into the spending was warranted. Democratic Mayor Bobby Sanchez says he's referred the report to state and city prosecutors. Stewart suspended her campaign immediately after the report was released, saying she would focus on addressing the claims. Stewart says she's spoken to State Senator Ryan Fazio and endorsed him ahead of this weekend's convention. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Two Long Island communities will get almost $15 million to revitalize their downtown neighborhoods. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
Valley Stream will get $10 million, and Patchogue will get $4.5 million. The money comes from two state programs that aim to enhance and revitalize downtown neighborhoods. Patchogue Mayor Paul Pontieri says the village will use the money to connect the downtown area to a park on the bay.
For a community to survive, it's not just housing. It is recreation. It is the environment. It's the arts. It's those things that make you and make people want to come to your community.
Valley Stream officials say they plan to build new single-family homes around a park. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
A leading environmental group says the reauthorization of Connecticut incentives for rooftop and community solar programs through 2035 was a victory for clean energy in the just-concluded state legislative session. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
Lori Brown is with the Connecticut League of Conservation Voters. She says the bill, which was approved on the last day of session, continues solar energy incentives in the face of cuts from the Trump administration.
Streamlining the residential solar permitting process, allowing plug-in solar, and studying agrivoltaics, among other things.
Jonathan Steinberg is the outgoing House Chair of the Environment Committee. He championed the bill.
We actually were debating this year whether or not it was the right year for us to move forward with solar incentives.
Steinberg says the most consequential provision incentivizes solar energy storage
as a way to fully activate the value of solar panels across the country.
The bill also places the programs under a target budget of $85 million a year. Advocates say that represents a 10% savings over the program's historic cost. Ebon Udala, WSHU News.
Lisa Lampanelli speaks to WSHU about free speech, new ventures, and knowing when to quit. That conversation is coming up.
I am the program director here at WSHU. I'm also the producer of Sunday Baroque, our nationally syndicated music program with Suzanne Bona. What I do for listeners is I'm your advocate. I listen to the station and make sure that, you know, you're getting the information that you need, that you're getting the companionship that you want, that you're getting information about your community, what's going on in our region, and the very best possible music programming that you can get. Hi, I'm Julie Ferdino from WSHU. Thanks to your support, the news you trust and the music you love can stay interruption-free. Please make your gift right now at WSHU.org. And thanks.
The Connecticut Supreme Court sided with Eversource in a disagreement with regulators over how quickly it could recover money it spends to repair storm damage. Eversource said PURA, the state's energy regulator, put too many steps in the process. It was one of several disagreements that led to the company to pressure PURA's former head to step down last year. Fairfield Properties is splitting into two companies. The rental giant owns over 200 apartment and office buildings across Long Island. A spokesperson says the split won't affect tenants and none of its 470 employees will lose their jobs. Former Connecticut First Lady Nikki O'Neill has died at 90. She was the wife of William O'Neill, who served as governor from 1980 to 1991. She was a teacher known for displaying art at the governor's residence during her time there. Her husband died in 2007. Adelphi University has a new president. Michael Balboni is a native Long Islander who previously served in the New York State Assembly, then the State Senate. He'll be the first Adelphi alum to lead the university. Lisa Lampanelli is renowned for her stand-up comic career. She's also a podcaster, a producer, and a mentor of WSHU's Randy Kay. She dropped by our studios recently to talk about her latest project, associate producer for the play, The People vs. Lenny Bruce. Here's her conversation with Randy.
Let's go back a little bit. You are a global star. And I have to say that one thing I love about you is that when you're done with something, you're done with something.
I have always said, and I think this is not a joke, quitting is really important. When you know in your entire body, mm-hmm. below the neck, that you're done with something, you can leave it before you hate it. You can leave it before you burn bridges. You could just notice it in the body and go, you know what? I think I'm done.
Yeah.
It's happened with divorces. It's happened. So I've had like great ex-husbands because we're never like hateful of each other.
Right.
I've had amazing like ex-careers, like stand-up and newspaper journalism, where I didn't make any enemies, or for the most part,
right.
more enemies than I could have handled. Sold houses when I was supposed to. I was like, okay, I just know when to go. So I knew in 2018, like, oh, stand-up's kind of like not for me anymore. It's not filling my soul.
Yes.
And I said, let me see what comes next without searching. And these different things just keep coming in, like teaching the adult class of students I have with you, teaching stand-up at the Norwalk Conservatory of the Arts.
Yeah, tell me more about that, because, you know, we hold our classes there, and
yeah.
I've been to some of the showcases. Tell me about the Norwalk Conservatory and the students there and your work there.
It's so insane. Another thing that just by me remaining open after retirement came in. So one day I was reading my Instagram, and the head of the school, Danny Loftus-George, he had DM'd me. I don't know him. And he had said, do you want to come and like just give a talk as a guest speaker? And I go, no, I want to teach a class. I love teaching stand-up. And I did that early on when I didn't mm-hmm. have a career yet, to just kind of like make some extra money, whatever. And I was like, oh, I really know what I'm talking about now. So I'm like on faculty there, which is nuts. But it's so cool. The kids are all very good actor, singer, dancers.
Yes.
Some of them are trying stand-up for the first time. It's adorable. And I just love it, because that age group is so different than the one I teach your class as adults.
Yes.
Like people normally over 35 or so who are kind of reinventing, and et cetera. And these kids are just getting started, and there's so much hope and openness. And they're just willing to fail, too, which I love. Like they're willing to try stuff, screw up, and come back next week and do it. So I love that school. Also, because so much is on scholarship, so many of the kids just wouldn't have the chance to go to conservatory for that kind of price. And oh, by the way, One of them just opened on Broadway, had to drop out in The Outsiders. Three others had to drop out because they're on tour with national tours. And I'm like, okay, this school puts out really good kids.
Wow. Can I ask you about your podcast?
Yeah, well, I just phased it out. Again, I knew I'd had enough.
Okay.
I did 1 year of this iHeart podcast called Shrink This. All episodes are up. It's so funny and heartfelt.
It
and it's a lot of the coaching training I'm getting now to help people, but in a funny way. So we would combine humor and self-help. But I was like, this feels like it's complete.
There's such power in saying, I did that, it's done, and now I'm going to do something else.
Or which, I'm not going to do anything, which I think is a superpower also of just contentment and peace, which, I mean, hopefully when I'm 85, I'll be able to do that because I can't do it now. Because I'm like, well, I just have to be creative somehow.
Yeah. I'm kind of like, what's next? What can I do next?
Yeah,
so I
and
hear
I think instead of me within the old days where I just look and look and look, what? I go, wait a minute, you have full evidence that if you stay open and just listen, it'll come in. And these things, these like this Lenny Bruce thing, it just wandered into my lap. I go, oh, all right. And now it's the message I want to give about freedom of speech and about, you know, come on. It's a big issue now more than ever, more than in 1964, even.
In a different way, in a more, you know, again, 1964, there was no social media.
Right.
The world is different, but judgment.
Oh my God.
It is not different. So let's talk a bit about this play. It is about Lenny Bruce, and it's part of a trilogy called All the Courts a Stage, where Susan Charlotte wrote these three plays on these three famous cases by civil rights attorney Martin Garbus. But
yes,
this is particularly Lenny Bruce. Opening night officially is Thursday, May 14th. What has your experience been like so far, and why should people see this play?
Well, they should see it because the freedom of speech issue is so resonant now and so important. It's even ramping up. But also, it's not only very dramatic and well-written, it's really funny because Lenny Bruce is a comedy icon. This isn't about someone who wasn't funny. And the actor they got is someone who's not doing an impression, which I love. He's getting the heart and soul of Lenny Bruce in there. He's a really good actor named Johnny Anthony, a discovery. And every other actor is like a famous-ish theater actor. Like Roberta Wallach, daughter of Eli Wallach and Ann Jackson. There's Steven Schnetzer, who was on Another World for 40 years as a lawyer, and he's playing the lawyer. So they're all really talented. I like the idea of being involved with theater people. They have so much to say, and they have so much heart, and they're funnier than I thought they'd be. I thought they'd be a bunch of actors who didn't have a sense of humor, but we're doing a lot of social media video of them and a lot of postings.
Great.
I was like, oh, these guys are multifaceted too. So the plays really lands well. What I've seen of the script landed great for me, but also lands well the scenes I've seen. It's really emotional and also funny at the same time.
And there's a lot more to the conversation with Lisa Lampanelli and more about the play, The People versus Lenny Bruce. Find it over at WSHU.org. For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or with the free WSHU app. The uninterrupted fun drive sounds different because it is different. If you're listening to us on the radio, we've cut back those long fundraising breaks and kept the focus on the programs you came here for. But at the moment, we're a little behind where we need to be financially, so we're asking you today to support the news you trust and the music you love. WSHU matters to you, so please don't wait for someone else to give. Your support right now keeps us strong for the community. Give over at WSHU.org, or you can call us at 800-777-9777. I'm Sabrina Garone. As always, thank you for listening. WSHU's Molly Ingram will be with you tomorrow. Have a great rest of your evening.